The following presentation was recorded at the 2008 Conservative Anabaptist School Board Institute. More information at thedocforlearning.org.
There are some handouts that could be passed out. Yeah. Good morning. Where are the teachers? Two verses I'll refer to here, one from Timothy. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the Lord, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. There is some committing to be done, and it is a task of transmitting to others that we have received. But then, coupled with the next scripture, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. Masters being teachers there. The teacher is responsible. The teacher will be considered responsible for what he or she teaches, for the life of those who act like, think like, talk like. It's one thing to see Junior standing like Dad stands with his thumb hooked in his trousers, and then you see Dad and you say, I can see why he's standing that way. With teachers, the students may or may not stand like the teacher, but they might think like the teacher or have the attitudes, the thought processes of the teacher. And those things are much more subtle, perhaps more potential for damage or for good. And it is a significant question, who should be our teacher? Well, we're here today to look at the question of where are the teachers? I've noticed, and I think you've noticed, that there's difficulty in finding teachers for our classrooms. And I'm convinced that this is a symptom of something else. We need to look at something else. It's a bit like going to a chiropractor. The presenting symptom is just that. And we need to look at what's behind that. And I don't want this to be just a complaining session, just recounting what we already know, that we have problems getting teachers. But we like to point to some hopeful things that we could do to address this problem. But first of all, two aspects to the problem I have here on your outline. The one is either attracting or finding dedicated, capable, and I have in parentheses, homegrown teachers. I think we ought to primarily be thinking of teachers from our midst. Now, I have no problems with hiring teachers from other communities. That's fine. But if all of us expect to do that, just think of do the math there. If I expect to get somebody from your community, you expect to get somebody from my community, how does this work? So everybody cannot do that. And so even though that may in fact happen, you need to be thinking about having capable teachers from your home community. And this involves sitting down and as a board talking about and starting to name people, name names, not a type of person, but name names. Susie Smith, Jane Smithers, whoever in our community. The Lord does raise up people in our home communities. And so we want capable people, dedicated people, and that does not, you can have a dedicated, capable person without that person teaching long term. That's really a separate question. And the second question, the second difficulty is keeping teachers long term. Because if you can hire a teacher who signs on for 40 years, why, then there might be the board might turn over several times until that question needs to be raised again. And maybe the next generation will have to face a question that the one before didn't have to face. Oh, we might have to hire a teacher in this generation. Well, so if we can keep them long term, That's ideal. However, I do not want to denigrate at all the short-term teachers, but that is the second part of the problem. So let's hasten on to some reasons. What I have here is a list of reasons from the teacher's perspective of why I don't teach long-term. And then secondly, some reasons from what some outside person coming in, assuming that you would ask a consultant to come in and check things out, what he might say. I've talked to a number of young people in the last month specifically to hear from them. I thought I had a good idea, but I wanted to confirm this. And just asking some young people, some answers were very brief. One person just simply said, it's not a viable career option, period. That was a young man. Another one said that, another one who's very interested in teaching, has had a number of people tell him, you're just being unrealistic. It's you'll find out. It's not realistic for a young man to consider teaching. What they mean by that is simply, you can't teach and ever consider getting married and having a family. It's just not an option. Other ones have said, and these are all quotes within the last couple months I got from some people I asked, that education is simply not important enough in our communities. It's not considered an important thing enough. And when you work in that field, you're working in something that is not valued enough. Someone else said that there are few people willing to be vulnerable in the journey with students. What he meant by that is that life is constantly unfolding, especially working with older students. It's a constantly unfolding journey through life. We go through struggles, through we don't have all the answers figured out, and the teacher cannot know everything. The teacher needs to be willing to make mistakes, to be asked questions that he or she does not know the answer to, and be willing to be vulnerable to students, and it takes a certain amount of willingness to live in that kind of setting. Those are a few comments I got, and I'll read another one later. Well, from the teacher's perspective, if you ask young people who've taught for a bit but moved on to something else, you won't get all these answers from anyone, but all of these are reasons. And one big one for the first one is inadequacy. I simply feel inadequate. For classroom management, there are many people who would teach. They would be happy to teach if there were somebody there to keep the students under control, and all I had to do was explain. I've wondered already when the public schools are going to have two people on the school bus, one to drive the bus and one to manage the students. And I've taught school for 35 years, but I wouldn't want to drive a school bus. I don't mind dealing with students when you're facing them and able to interact with them, but to sit down with my back towards them and concentrate on driving when who knows what's going on back there, that's not my thing. And there are many people who would say the same thing in the classroom. I don't mind teaching. I explain. I might love math or science or whatever it is, but to manage the children, I can't do that. Teaching is very much like life in a fishbowl. You're totally exposed. The students know you, they learn to know you inside and out. And by the time you've taught a few years, they know how you respond to this, how you respond to that. They know whether you have good days or bad days. They know your attitudes, responses, and you basically might as well not try to hide anything because they're going to know it. And you need to be willing to be exposed like that and to be known. Many people can't handle that. They don't like life in the fishbowl. And then another one, now if that were the only thing, that would. But then there's the background and needed academic skills and knowledge. It's one thing to show somebody how to do a math problem. It's something else to go up to the chalkboard and do it in front of a group and perhaps make some mistakes and sometimes, not just in math, but in any skill subject where you're to explain something, to try to explain something when you don't know right how to do it. And especially if you're working right on the edge of your knowledge of that. If you're always working on the frontier of your knowledge, that's difficult. And then, of course, the other is knowledge. That is, if many teachers feel inadequate in that, young teachers especially, in that I know what's in the textbook, and that's all I know. I know nothing more than what's in the textbook. So basically what I can do in class is get up front and restate to them what they have already read, or have them restate to me what they have already read. And I have nothing really to offer about France or whatever the geography study is, I have nothing really to offer beyond what they've already read. I don't have facility, I'm not adept in this subject. That's another reason. Third one is simply, I don't have any experience. And how do I get experience? Well, you get experience by jumping in, perhaps sink or swim, and simply, in many cases, having to either not teach or else step in and take over. And there are a few other tasks that we just ask someone, you know, here's the keys to the track hoe, go and, dig that sewer line and lay the line. I'll maybe watch for an hour, but then it's yours. There are many situations where a person simply has to step in with no experience. And surprisingly, it might be surprising to you, but if you teach a bit, you'll find it's not surprising. Brother Paul last night mentioned with music. Number four, the peripherals. There are many teachers who would be happy to teach math, science, English, history, but there's music, or there's art, or there are bulletin boards. And it's amazing how that one thing can be the big stone in the shoe. And there are people who, the major subjects, there's curriculum material for me to use, the course is laid out, I can manage that, it's good. But then there's maybe it's phys ed. With different teachers, it's a different thing. And there are some cases where if you would ask the potential person or the person who's been there a couple of years who's ready to throw in the towel, ask him, what are the things that really, what are the stones in the shoe? What are the things is that if you didn't have to do them would make a big difference? It's amazing what you might find. In some cases, if you would find a part-time person to fill in that one thing, it might, for some people, it might be recess duty. Now, that's healthy for teachers to be on recess duty or work with children in phys ed or something like that. But that one, what you might call a peripheral subject, sometimes takes a disproportionate amount of energy on the part of the teacher. Thursday's coming around, Thursday's art. I'm not an art teacher. We have to do something. But, you know, once you make it through Thursday, we made it through that day. So, you know, the weekend's coming. We can put it off. But what are we going to do next week? Well, we just put it out of our mind. Tuesday comes. Wednesday comes. We still don't know. Thursday morning comes. We still don't know. The Thursday, the day goes through and lunch is here. It's Thursday afternoon is here. Well, I guess we'll pass out some construction paper and tell them to cut out shape and see if we can guess what it is. And it ends up being a poor experience. The teachers don't like it. The student don't like it. And that confirms in the teacher's mind that I knew this wasn't going to be good. I didn't like it. And next week is coming again. Now, that's one illustration, but it could be in a different subject. So ask your teacher, is there one thing like that that perhaps if we could take that off your plate and give it to somebody else, the teacher might be freed in ways beyond what you would imagine. B is simply, now, of course, overwhelmed. Simply too many irons in the fire, and allowing for mediocrity at best. Even if the person is capable, it doesn't matter how experienced a blacksmith you have, if you get too many irons in the fire, he simply can't deal with them all. And there are, for many people, it's too many different kinds of responsibilities. It's something to have 20 irons in the fire, but it's something else to have 20 different kinds of things to do. If the blacksmith has irons in the fire and bread in the oven and phone calls to make, bills to pay, people to talk to, and a new kind of tool to design, you're calling for different kinds of work at the same time, not just multiplied of one kind of thing. And so there is the relationship tasks. You need to relate to students. You need to relate to the other teachers in the school, to the parents who are coming in, to the school board, to the phone calls that come. You need to, these relationship things you can't manage with a computer or a tool. They're very human, very personal, very. And another is, of course, maintaining discipline, cultivating respect among the students. Helping the special needs students. It's not unusual to have one student who could take one-fourth of your time. And you have this constant pull. Do I help that student? Do I help the capable students? How do I manage this? And then, along with that, we have staying abreast with the there or staying fresh. Now, staying abreast, keeping up with the students in all these subjects as we progress through the year, staying with them, because even though we know the subject, it's one thing to know the subject and to be up to speed that particular day on where we are in the book at that time, and being fresh. If it's a story that you've read a number of times, but you haven't had taken the time to browse through or to skim through again, and you're remembering it from what you read last year, and you want to lead a discussion on it, it shows up if you're not fresh. And the burnout might be a result of having only kindling. I'll never forget Brother Dwayne Tucker's comment. He said a young man told him after he taught a year or two, he said, I'm burned out. I'm quitting. Brother Dwayne said, no, he said, you're not burning out. He said, you never had a fire. You didn't have enough material to get a fire started. All you had was kindling. And many young people have enough together to have kindling, and there's a good little flame. And when that goes out, this is suggesting here is to have enough, either enough experience or enough having some study, having something personal as a teacher to offer out of your life, out of your experience, that you fizzle before you really get the fire going. Looking on to another major, so these are the overwhelmed, simply feeling overwhelmed. A bit like standing under a pine tree with a snow load, maybe starting a fire, and the snow all comes off, and it's just too much at one time for many young people. A third one is the clerical bind. Even if there is plenty of ability and experience, some teachers feel that there's only a limited amount of time to give to what really matters to me. I find myself spending a great amount of time assigning, checking, managing when I really would like to teach something. It would be wonderful to have an opportunity to unpack this story and talk about the themes or the motivations, the characters in the story, or the place we would like to talk about, the country we're studying in geography or the time period in history, but there isn't time. There are all these other things. There are things to move on. There's simply too many classes, too many things to check. And I end up feeling like a clerical worker rather than a teacher. Not that clerical working is bad, but that's not teaching in itself. And part D, doing it as a job as needed or fill in, there are people who never intended to, the heart's not really in it, and they were asked to teach, so teacher was needed, so somebody has to do it, so I do it, I put my 2 years in, like we heard yesterday, put in my time for a year or two. Another one is, there are people who have never themselves had a really good school experience or teaching experience. Last night we heard from Brother Gerald about his third and fourth grade teacher. Well, there are some people who go through school and perhaps they didn't have a teacher who nagged at them like that, but they never perhaps sat under an effective teacher who was a model for them that they could see what teaching really is. It would seem children go through school and they see teachers at work, so it would seem that ideally they should know how this thing works because they've seen it done. It's also like you all know how to raise children because you were raised yourself, so you know how your parents did it, right? But some people, and I remember some years ago, one brother on a school board who was asked about he was asking about getting teachers, and someone said to him that, well, we tried to get them from our own community. And he said, well, he didn't really think that, they didn't really feel that people coming through their school would be encouraged to teach. He couldn't imagine that person coming through that school. And obviously, if that's the situation, we shouldn't be surprised if our young people go through our school and don't have a good school experience. They're not very likely to go back into school. If school is a place that you put in time and get away from as soon as you can, you're not very likely to want to go back into it as the teacher. And another one is an inadequate vision on the part of young people, not sensing a call into the service of the church or the Lord or his people. That is a big enough call that this is serving the rising generation and so on. And I have listed here, last but not least, the insufficient financial support in many cases. However, the teachers are often the biggest contributor when you look at the rate that teachers are paid, and especially if you're looking at long-term teachers and you look at what they might be paid over a period of 15 years compared to what other people in the community earn in 15 years, put the numbers beside each other, and often the teachers are the biggest contributors to the school, both in time, in energy, blood, sweat, and tears, if you might call it, in prayers, and also financially. And I know many cases where there are young men or family men who've taught a number of years, loved teaching, but simply could not continue because they could not support their family, so they moved on to something else. Now, from a consultant, let's suppose we ask someone to come in and visit our schools and say, we have a problem hiring teachers, so we'd like you to come in and visit parents, visit school, visit board meetings, look at how we operate, and then give us your insight into this. This is what I think a consultant might, some things he might tell us. First, that youth are more attracted to the, quote, work world. They get a job. And for one thing, it's the norm. That's what people do. And, quote, real jobs use talents. They get visible results. They earn money. When I say visible results, I mean if you build a house, if you wired a house, if you've farmed, there are more immediate visible results. There's a built building. There's a wired house. There's a truckload of goods that's been hauled from here to there. The day's over. At the end of a day in teaching, what visible results are there? What has been done? We have talked. We have checked papers. But there is not an immediate visible result. Now, we all know, and we say, yes, the next generation, and that's true. And you have to have a lot of patience in the average teacher. It's a wonderful blessing. It is a wonderful blessing to see people in their 30s and 40s who were one time your students. But you wait a while for that. You wait a while for that. And with young people, you don't get those visible results. And they create less draw on the person. You don't teach very long until you know what Jesus meant when he said, somebody touched me, I felt virtue go out. It really pulls. It pulls from you personally, emotionally, spiritually, physically, mentally. Every E you can imagine at the end of a day is there's a draw there. And it is a draw. This next one, missions are a comparable work, but are often seen as more important. Well, the call to teach in our schools and the call to go to missions, they can be considered in the same category. But I remember talking to young men one time who they said that in our church they were very happy with the attitude towards missions, that missions are important, people need to go on missions. And I said, do they see that the local school, their local school, is the first and most important mission of the church? Well, no, he said, I wouldn't see that. No, certainly they don't see it that way. I said, well, maybe they should consider shutting down all missions until they have the school where it should be, and then out of that go out. Well, missions are, for better or for worse, seen often as more romantic in the sense you go off somewhere, you go away, you go out, and we're going to make a difference for God in the world. Whether or not it should be said that way, I'm simply saying it's exciting. We're going to go out somewhere. And even without visible results. Now, missions work is much like teaching. I mentioned earlier, when you build a house, there's been a house built. When you go out and do mission work, you don't see the results either. It's very much like teaching in that way. But you can often live with that because the missions are seen as part of this larger call. And you really almost don't expect, perhaps, to see the results when you go out and pay, whether it's passing out tracts or whether it's going 2 years to work in Now, Granada or wherever, you don't necessarily expect to see results because you know you're working your son's the Lord and you leave it with him. But I'll leave you to ponder this. For better or for worse, for some reason, young people are more attracted to go into missions often than into local schools. Going to the backside, teaching, your consultant might say, it seems to me that teaching among you is seen as, well, it's something that must be done. You know, somebody has to wash the dishes. They must be washed. Nobody will argue with that. They must be washed. It's a necessary work, but for many people, it's really not seen as serious life work. When you consider the different things that could be done, we could be carpenter, builder, bricklayer, mason, whatever. Well, somebody does have to teach. Another one is, I couldn't do it, but I'm glad somebody will do it. Now, this is kind of a subtle one you have to ponder on. Even saying that I couldn't do it doesn't necessarily mean that it's held up to be a really commendable work. It's just something that must be done. It's not unusual for, quote, the best talent to be hired by, for, quote, real jobs. Now, I use that term the way it's, there's a bit of, just a bit of, not sarcasm, but a bit of irony there. Teaching is a real job. But I think you know what I mean. It's sometimes looked at, well, maybe you could teach if you can't find a... And it's not unusual at all for a board member to find himself running a business and he has an employee. I've known situations where this happens. A board member has an employee working in the office. He's a board chairman, perhaps. They need a teacher in the school over here. She actually could teach. Now he's in a... there's a problem. Does he encourage the board to hire her over here to teach because he'd had difficulty finding a talented person for this job, or does he keep her in the job? And when you have that kind of a question, you find out very quickly, what you as a community believe regarding talent, ability, money, whatever. Those kinds of questions tell something about how we look at things. And another one, the consultant might say, all of you are saying we need teachers, but I don't hear you having any clear steps of how to go about this, how we're going to find them. I mentioned yesterday in the talk, there's an interesting title in the Mexico Mennonite update in the February issue. The title says, Leave It Up to the Mennonites. And he refers in this article how to, over the years, the Anabaptists have been very ingenious in being able to figure out if a job needs to be done. There's a way to do it, whether it's, it says it takes some brainstorming and old-fashioned ingenuity to start manufacturing 30-gallon copper kettles. And it's something, when there's a job needs to be done, there are ingenious ways of doing it. However, and so, if we need this task done, if we need to find them, there ought to be a way to rise to this challenge. But this is not a mechanistic problem. It's not something you can solve with a computer, with tools, with, this is a people interaction, people relationship, very intensely, people need. And you don't meet that through practicality. You don't meet that through just some method. That's getting close to the problem there. Classroom teaching, this is part D, it's intensely personal. It's not primarily practical or mechanical. And teachers cannot be replaced by any method, any system, any technique, any technology, or any facilities. It's easy to sit down, relatively easy, to sit down, and we can provide building, we can provide books, we can provide photocopies, we can provide even bring in the students. But a school is the teachers. If you have a teacher, all you need is a teacher and some students, and you find a closet somewhere or a corner somewhere, and the teacher can teach. But by using our practical approach, you can build a building, you can get all the other facilities together, you can bring the students, you can set policies in place, but you can't get teachers with an order form, with just money itself will not do it. You could consider yourself, let's suppose I hired you for, someone offered you a job for $100,000 a year. You say, okay, I'll be there. And the job is to throw bricks from this side of the wall to that side of the wall. So you throw them over the wall. I'm finished. Okay, now throw them back. And I'll throw them over. Now throw them back. Now throw them over. Now throw them back. I wonder how long any of us would work at throwing bricks over a wall and throwing them back for $100,000 a year. Well, there are all kinds of questions that would arise. You know, is this ethical? Is this proper? Is this, even if the person would pay me? Now, why am I saying that? Well, I'm saying that it doesn't matter how much we would, paying teachers itself is not really the root problem. It's part of it, a significant part of it, because there are people who would like to teach but can't. But we can't just say it. It needs to be really in our hearts that this is an important work. This is a meaningful work. And the young people need to sense that somehow. And it's a challenge to have that in our hearts and lives, that this is an important work that we're doing. It's intensely personal. It's not primarily practical. The last question here under this part is, what does school have to offer over the homeschool? Many families and many of our communities are homeschooling, and the interesting thing is that they can get the same materials that the school can get today. There are many materials, the whole spectrum of materials. And the school, if you're going to have a school, you've got extra challenges with transportation. We heard yesterday about 25% of your budget, transportation. You have all this headache of building buildings. You have transportation, you have peer pressure, you have discipline, you have meetings, you have all these things to deal with. The question that comes back to us is, what does the school have to offer? Why even have a school? If the homeschooler can avoid all these group problems of transportation, building, and so on, and have the same materials, the answer is very simple. It's one word. Teacher. Teacher. And unless that needs to be what our people see, there are teachers there. There are teachers there. It's kind of immaterial how adequate the facilities are. It's nice to have adequate facilities. It's nice to have some books, maybe some newer books and plenty of tablets. But the teachers really make the school. Well, solution. For you board members, number one is focus on people. We heard a bit about this yesterday. And a question for us to ask, when we sit down at a board meeting and talk, what percentage of the board meeting is about people and interaction as opposed to bricks and mortar, the heating system, tablets, or whatever else? Since teaching is intensely people interaction, people relationship, and school is intensely that, it seems to me that a great amount of our concern, our discussion, brainstorming, prayer, planning has to be about people. And if staff, and of course students, are given proper priority, I think the other things fall into place. Part B, vision. Do you have a well-worded goal or purpose for the school? Teaching should be seen as a good work. The Bible says he who wishes the office of a bishop desires a good work. The work of teaching also. Now, it should not be elevated unduly. And you can't do that just by saying it's important. And if you speak too loud about it, what people realize, it's like a little boy walking in the dark saying, I am not scared, I am not scared, I am not scared. Well, you know well enough that he is. So we can't just say teaching is important, teaching is important. It's much deeper than that. We have to look at what is a teacher. What do we need? Who do we need as a teacher? We can't get that just by just saying it. And so we don't want to elevate it unduly, neither denigrate it. We certainly don't believe that education is the solution to the world's problems by any means. So we don't want to go that route. Train up your own teachers. If you want a good subject, that'll take a little time in the board meeting. Sit down and put that question on the floor and don't dismiss until it's answered. The question is, figure out how you will do this. How will you train up your own teachers? What are we going to do in our community or our school? And what are the names of some people? Let's put some names out on the table, and let's figure out how this person who might consider teaching, what it will take, how we can support that person, what it will take, apprenticing, what will it take? Make your school as good as you can so that students going through your school will be interested in teaching. One of the blessings of a teacher is to look back at the people that have been your students and see them rising up and teaching. It's a wonderful, wonderful blessing. Commit. Decide who the type of person is that you need in your school, and then who can do the work. And then stop until you can name some names. What are the names of some people? And who can do this work? I remember one brother saying some years ago that a local church ought to seek out among its most capable, mature, well-grounded brethren and put them in the classroom and do what it takes to do that. That was one person's statement. I'll let you hear it for what it's worth. Now, of course, brethren, it depends how many you need, and sisters can do well also. But he was saying that, you know, there should be some brethren in the classroom. Face this higher, mature, capable people. People who are interested in learning, interested in continuing. Children learn learning from a learner. And so you want somebody in the classroom who is interested in learning and apt to teach, someone who loves children. Seek out potential people and have a plan. Real challenge is to look down the road. I know someone, it was a brother over at Faith Builders, said they get people calling them for teachers. And of course, there are very few people that go through there. That's just a small number, so they don't have many to suggest. But he asked the person who called. He said this was in the summer. They needed a teacher. He said, what situation were you in last year? Well, the last year was about the same way. It was a summer. They needed a teacher. And his statement was, maybe it'll be about the same way next year too. But the point was, if we can get ourselves where we're looking 2 or 3 years down the road, and if a potential teacher is going to need some time in preparation, we ought to be looking. Here's another challenge. If you need something for a board meeting to fill up your agenda, take some time and ask not who will our teacher be next year just, but who will our teacher be 2 years from now, 3 years from now, who among us might be potential teacher material 2 or 3 years from now, and what might it take for them to be encouraged or prepared to teach when that time comes around? And what can we do as a board to support that happening? So consider some ways to provide preparation and support. I mentioned yesterday I put a little sheet in the round table back here. There's one school has a teacher, a school in Kansas, that's offering an apprentice opportunity. And there are several different options there. A person could go for just 2 weeks to visit and observe. They could go for a longer period of time to actually apprentice. And I challenge you to develop some kind of an apprentice arrangement in your own school that could serve to help young people who may want to teach, or even people from other communities. So instead of asking for teachers from other communities, you could invite apprentices from other communities to come to your school and learn to teach and bless one another that way. And keep an ongoing dialogue with the teachers in your school, those who are already teaching. Find out from them how it's going, how's it feeling, and what are the things that are happening in our school that are encouraging you to return, to continue teaching? What are some of the discouraging things? And find out before the teacher throws in the towel and will not come back. That shouldn't be a surprise. Find out what could we do to help you, to support you. Give an opportunity for visit other schools. It's amazing what ideas you can get visiting another school when it's in session. It's interesting, but it's ironic that many teachers never see another teacher teach. because they're all teaching at the same time. Many teachers in the same school have never seen the other teachers in their same school teaching because the bell rings, they all go in the rooms and teach. So just opportunities to visit other rooms, to visit other schools, and ways to learn, and then help for special needs. As I mentioned earlier, art class, providing, could some volunteer aides help here to listen to Bible memory, help the children with oral reading, arrange for a mentor. There was a program, the Old Order Mennonites in Ontario, I understand, had have a program where in the first year of teaching, I think they have an apprentice arrangement too. But even in the one room arrangement, when they start teaching, there is an assigned older teacher assigned to this younger teacher to touch bases maybe weekly or biweekly, however it's arranged, to help that person work through the first year. And so assigning an older teacher to help a younger teacher. Some concluding thoughts: this problem will not go away. And it's not going to be solved by the potential teachers. The young people out there, they're not going to solve the problem. And it's you must face it. If you're a board member in a school, you might be a young board member, maybe you're just on the board, but this is a problem that is in your lap. It's not going to be solved by the parents, changed by the parents, by the students, by the young people out there. It's something that you're going to have to pray about, consider. You need to be directors. Pastors, keep the work of the church, keep the work of the school before the church. Board members come and go. They might serve 3 years, 5 years, maybe even 15 years. Pastors are usually in there for a lifetime. And really, when it comes down to it, at root, it falls back in the pastor's lap to keep the vision of the school alive. And it's amazing what one little comment can make. All Dad has to say is one time. All Dad has to say is something like, well, I never did so well in school either. And that's good for a lifetime for his son. That's all he has to do is make one comment, and the son can know that, well, I don't need to work too hard in school. On the other hand, if Dad makes one comment like, learn all you can while you're there, because it'll soon be passed, that also carries a lot of weight. Now, I say that to say this. Pastors don't necessarily need to say a whole lot before the congregation. But those little comments along the way, whether it's to the students, whoever, respect your teachers, a comment or mentioning the teachers in prayer and the Sunday morning prayer, these little comments along the way, sometimes those little comments carry more weight, have more influence than the big speeches. That we know that the pastor's heart is for the school. We're thinking about the teachers. We're praying for them. And so, face this head on in your community. Ask your teachers and potential teachers. Ask these young people, you know, honestly, really, why aren't you interested in teaching? Ask them. Don't take my word for it. Ask them directly. Review your own philosophy toward education. And visit your own school and ask yourself, why would the young people be interested and excited about coming here to work? And last but not least, get out the mirror like we heard yesterday and look in that mirror. And then say, now, why wouldn't that person teach? And make a list of reasons why you're not teaching. And then, seriously, then many other people who you ask would give the same answers. Now, they would chuckle. Who? Me? Why? Why me? You? Are you serious? But there, I believe that the Lord does raise up people in every community, every generation, who have a heart for teaching, and they are there, and if they're not forthcoming, why? We need to look long and hard. We need to ask the questions and ask it around your own board meeting table. Why? Let me read a few quotes here from a letter from another young man who taught a few years. I'll just read a few comments from his letter. He said, "While teachers struggled to pay their own needs, dads were buying their young sons brand new trucks, etc. Going on, I had too much work and the board realized this, but what else can a school do? Academic overload is what is dooming our teachers. The information spectrum is immense and the expectations are growing every year. Teaching is a profession that's demanding of a person's mental capacity 24 hours a day. That cannot be avoided because we should always be wanting to improve our own skills, and we're working with young people. I don't feel I have anything close to address the workload issue. Suffice it to say, my doctor told me my blood pressure was too high and attributed it partly to stress in my life. I have not had as high blood pressure since I quit teaching. I want to teach, but I cannot see myself walking back in and shouldering the load right now. I think my generation has lost vision. Maybe we never have had it. There doesn't seem to be the impetus among young people today to meet the demands that private Christian schools need. It seems so strange that we have apprentices in electricians, masons, carpentry, and you name it, but not in teaching. We would not let someone fix our car who had no prior experience or training, yet we expect young people to walk into a school and teach for a number of months with little or no prior experience. And Mennonite communities are changing from farming-based to commerce-based. Families are no longer teaching hard work ethics. And he thinks maybe that has something to do with it. That was another person's sharing, a young man, a strong young man. And conclusion, I take this before the Lord in prayer. The Lord does have, he can move hearts. There is talent. There are young people. And when the vision is clear in our own hearts, there are people who will rise to that. So I think we have hard work to do in refreshing the vision in our own communities. It's one thing for people who have started schools 20 and 30 years ago. As we heard yesterday in Plain City, they started a school in the middle of the year because the needs were there. And this is a compelling vision there for our school. And if that vision is there, then people will rise to the challenge. And then, of course, there needs to be adequate support. But the support itself is not enough. The financial support is not enough unless the vision is there. There are, I believe, there are young people out there who are interested in teaching. And let's pray that the Lord would work in our hearts and their hearts to stir them up, and also in our communities, that we would see the need and be able to word that need and voice it. Thank you.
For more free resources that support teaching and learning, visit thedocforlearning.org.